True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 40% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Consulting editor and NFL draft analyst at SportsKita.com, Tony Pauline, joining us yet again. Good to have you back with us, Tony.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I want to get to what you were tweeting out, and one of those tweets was about Marshall and the Atlanta Falcons head coach, Raheem Morris, being out there at the pro day. Could you get into a little more details as to what you know and maybe who they were looking at?
Well, actually, I found out later, and I reported in the story at SportsKita that Atlanta basically had their entire front office, or at least most of their front office, out at the Marshall Pro Day to watch Mike Green. I mean, obviously, as I said last time, and I've written, I said when I was on with you last time, and I've written, it's going to be a defensive-oriented draft. You got to think they're going to go edge rusher at the top because it's a good edge rusher class, but you want to get one soon. So, I mean, it makes sense to get out there, see Mike Green, sit down, talk with him, get between his ears. He's an incredible talent. He's got some upside. You just have to make sure it's a good system fit.
Tony, I'm curious, and I know you've touched on this before on a number of other outlets, but edge rusher seems to be, and I think everybody wants to kind of categorize it as being a deep position. We've talked backwards, forwards, ups and downs about James Pierce and guys like that and Mike Green. How many edge rushers do you envision will actually, in the end, be first-rounders? How many guys actually are valuable enough to go inside of that group?
Well, I have four with solid first-round grades. That being said, I think that six will end up in the first round. Abdul Carter from Georgia, from Penn State, both Georgia players, Jalen Walker and Mikael Williams, James Pierce of Tennessee, Mike Green of Marshall, and at least one of the two Texas A&M players, either Nick Scowerton or Shamar Stewart. I have Scowerton rated slightly higher than Stewart, but I think Stewart will be the player that ends up in the first round. Is Ezeraqu of Boston College going to be a first-round pick? He could, but I don't have it on my board.
Hey, Tony, I'm glad you brought up Scowerton. I mean, if you watch, I mean, based on what we saw watching film, I feel like he is more explosive than Shamar Stewart, maybe the better player. And I know that even he played a little bit heavier last year than I think than he normally would. What do you make of him?
Not just last year. I mean, go back to the prior year, 2023, when it was at Purdue, a bad Purdue team, and he was basically an unstoppable player on that front line. And I agree with you. He's a much better player than Shamar Stewart. He's much more polished than Shamar Stewart, who is an Olympic-type athlete. I mean, fact that he played at 280 pounds and he was 257 at the combine. Teams are going to have to figure that out. But he's athletic. He's explosive. He's much more of a natural pass rusher than Shamar Stewart. Had much better production. I think the best way to characterize those two is Skowerton is the safer pick. Shamar Stewart has more upside if you can get him hitting on all cylinders, if you can transition that athleticism into football ability. But players that have huge upside often come with a lot of downside risk, and I think that is Shamar Stewart.
NFL draft analyst Tony Pauline hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Tony, you know, I think all of us here in Atlanta are trying not to fall into this trap of focusing on edge rushers, but we continue to do it because we know how badly the Falcons need it. But let's focus on other positions. Let's take linebacker and let's take safety. And I know the Falcons obviously looking at all the defensive positions, but other than the guys that play up front, and I'll ask you to take Jalen Walker out of this group because you just included him with your edge rushers. Who's the best off-ball player as far as safeties, corners, linebackers, other outside of defensive linemen? Who are we talking about being the best players in this first round?
Well, I think if you're going to lump safeties and linebackers together, the highest-rated player on my board would be Nick Emmanuari of South Carolina, who blew up the combine. He ran 4.38 at 220 pounds, and he's a good player on film. It's not, you know, it's not a Shamar Stewart situation where the guy's a great athlete and you're wondering where the production is. I mean, Emmanuari, I think he had 4 interceptions last year. Makes a lot of plays against the run. He transfers that athleticism onto the field. You can see that speed in a straight line and laterally. The thing is, at 220 pounds, are you using him at safety? Is he a strong safety? Is he a one-gap linebacker? After that, I would have Jihad Campbell of Alabama, who I believe is the best off-ball in-space linebacker, if you'd like. 6'3", 235 pounds, ran a 5'2", and he plays to those testing numbers on the field. He's terrific in coverage, covers a lot of area sideline to sideline. Really didn't ask him to blitz that much, but, you know, in the past you've seen those types of players, whether it be a Jalen Walker and Abdul Carter that were pure linebackers, become good blitzers, become good pass rushers up the field. So I believe that potential is there with Jihad Campbell.
Tony, so the New York Giants making headlines again. So they bring in Jameis Winston. They still got Tommy DeVito there. And then they just signed Russell Wilson. Are they still in play for a quarterback in the draft? I know they were out at some pro days.
Yeah, I don't in the draft, yes, but not in the first round. I definitely think that they will take a quarterback maybe day two at the early part of the fourth round if one drops to them. But I never thought they were going to take a quarterback with that third pick of the draft. So, yeah, I absolutely think they have to. I mean, you know, Russell Wilson's there on a one-year deal. Jameis Winston's there on a two-year deal. You don't know what you're getting from him. Tommy DeVito's not a starting quarterback in the NFL. He's more of a novelty than he is, a true NFL quarterback. So I think absolutely the Giants will look quarterback either day two or early part of the day three.
Tony, who do you like in the cornerback room, or I guess department? It's J.D. Barron and really Will Johnson. Which one of those two do you like better than the other?
I like Will Johnson better significantly. It's just that he's not coming off a good season. I mean, again, with Will Johnson, you got to go back and you got to look at the film in 2022 and 2023 where he was a lockdown cornerback, where opposing quarterbacks were not throwing in his direction. He struggled with turf toe last year. It was a different defensive system with Wink Martindale coming in. They kind of used him off the ball, off the line of scrimmage, backed off in man coverage rather than in press. He seemed to struggle. He had the injury. I don't know if it was just a scheme thing or the injury issue. But going into 2024, a lot of people, including myself, thought that Will Johnson would be a very early draft pick. He's fallen, as has Benjamin Morrison. I do like Jade Barron. But, you know, Barron was a guy who oftentimes lined up over the slot receiver, was not a true outside cornerback at Texas. He seems to have those skills. He definitely has the size. He definitely has the confidence. I mean, he's a chatty guy, and, you know, he's a confident guy, which you want the cornerback position. But I think all things being equal, I have Will Johnson rated pretty significantly higher than Jade Barron.
Love it. Draft analyst Tony Pauline hanging out with us. Tony, one of the guys that, you know, as we've focused, like I said, here in Atlanta, up front on defense, but it really at all, you know, all three levels in a number of different positions. One of the guys that I've fallen in love with is Walter Nolan. And what's crazy about Walter Nolan is I see him mocked in the top 10, and some people have him all the way back in the second round. And I guess my question to you is, what value do you think interior defensive linemen are actually going to be able to hold in this draft? And I know they're considered to be deep, but, you know, when you look at some of the guys, it's hard to understand exactly what point there will be a run on guys like Walter Nolan.
Yeah, I mean, defensive tackles, interior defensive linemen are always coveted in the NFL draft. They have people talk about the quarterbacks, that's true. Left tackles, cornerbacks, and defensive tackles, general managers, decision makers always want a lot of players at that position. Now, I think with Walter Nolan, he's a first-round prospect, but what happens is last impressions are usually what, you know, people remember, or people who only cover the draft for a little bit of time rely on. And Walter Nolan was not good at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was handled by mediocre talent at the Senior Bowl, as were a couple of those defensive tackles who did not play well. So people remember that, and they say, well, no way I'm taking this guy in the first round. And they forget about the prior 2 years of film, especially last year at Mississippi, where he was a dominant force. I mean, he was an explosive, gap-penetrating defensive tackle who could make plays behind the line of scrimmage, who could, who could rush the passer. He's a little bit smaller. So, you know, are you using him as a one-gap, in a one-gap scheme? Are you using him as a defensive end in a three-man line? Where does Walter Nolan fit at the next level? I have a solid first-round grade on him. I think he's going to go somewhere in the middle of the first round. He's a talented guy. He's produced on the football field. He has growth potential. So even though he was 296 at the combine, you look at that 6'4" frame, he should be able to add 10 to 15 pounds on that frame and play with the athleticism and the agility that he's shown the past 2 years, first at Texas A&M and then Mississippi.
Tony.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcast.
We got about a minute left, but you wrote about the Boston College offensive line duo and how a number of teams were up there for their pro day, one of them being the Saints. Can you give us more insight into their interest?
Well, I mean, the Saints are a team that always seem to take offensive linemen. They can't get it right. I mean, they take offensive linemen early in the draft. I don't think they're taking the Boston College kids early in the draft. But they take offensive linemen consistently in the first round and day two, and they've expended so much draft capital on offensive linemen, yet they continually need offensive linemen. So maybe they're going, even the fact that they need offensive linemen, maybe they're going to peel back a little bit and they're going to take guys like Drew Kendall or Ozzie Trapillo in day three rather than use early picks on the offensive line. I think both of those Boston College kids, you know, they're not top-tier prospects, but they're smart, as you would expect anybody from Boston College coming out of. They play intelligent football. They get the most from their ability. They're fundamentally sound, and I think both will be a good pick somewhere in the fourth, fifth round.
Awesome. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate the insight, as always.
Thanks for having me.